Well, thank you. And, you know, as we were just singing that, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in the Lord's heart. What's he hearing from your heart today? What's he hearing from you? It's good to be back. Thank you for your prayers and your love and your support and your emails and your cards and your hugs. And I tell you what, there's no place like home. And when I say home, I don't mean that casa over there in Sarah 66. I mean right here in the family of God. I still contend that the Church of Jesus Christ is the greatest phenomenal creation on the face of the whole earth. And there is nothing like it. It's so magnificent and so unique. Don't you ever, ever take for granted being a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus died for us. And I'm so thrilled. We're so thrilled to be back with you today. And, you know, it's been 2 months, 8 weeks. Sometimes one heck of a journey. And Howard just asked if I'd share a few minutes about it, and I'm not preaching this morning. I don't have the voice for it, and I'm thankful that he is. You know, we went down there with the understanding of radiation treatments, which we couldn't have had better medical care. Asked for better medical care anywhere. And the doctors were phenomenal, the staff of the hospital, San Javier Hospital, just tremendous. And suddenly after a couple weeks in, I can't remember timelines, but things went haywire in my digestive system. Not related to the radiation treatment, but got an H. pylori bacterial infection, probably some Mexican bug, apparently, they think. Don't really know for sure. But wasn't bad enough in the stomach. It crawled up into my ileum and into my cecum. And so I had pain like, if you can imagine standing in the middle of the room, buckled over, holding your stomach, just retching in pain, spasms, that's what it was. And I'm a pretty tough guy. I think I have a pretty high tolerance of pain level. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, when you can't take it anymore, you go to the emergency room. And that happened twice in two days apart, I guess, I think it was. And finally hospitalized me for 6 days, and I've been scoped on every end, inside and out. I should put pictures up, you could see all a part of me. But they finally, it's not pretty, you wouldn't want to see it. But you know, through it all, God's faithful. He is so faithful. And you know, I got nothing to complain about. Last night I went to visit Jay Greenleaf. And he's sitting over here in his casa, and he's in just misery. And he can't keep any food down, and he's losing weight like crazy, and he's in miserable pain. And I looked at him, and I thought, God, cover him with your pinions and your feathers, as he promised in Psalm 91. You're our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. And prayed with him and tried to encourage him, but... And keep praying for Jay, will you please? I just have such a heart for what he's going through and what Rachel's going through, trying to take care of him and minister to him as well. And there's others as well. But, you know, it's that's enough about us. And we're so glad to be back. We've been in our bed 2 nights. Best 2 nights sleep I've had in 2 months. And literally, I could stay in bed. I haven't been able to stay in bed for 2 months, more than about 2 hours at a time. So it's such a blessing. We're leaving this out right after church. We're heading to Phoenix to stay overnight with our daughter, and then on to Iowa and Minnesota to see our sons. And we have a new grandson, Carson Robert, waiting for us to hold him in our arms. And we can't wait to see him. And I'm going to have the privilege to dedicate him to the Lord while we're up there. And I'm excited about that. And excited to see our kids, because I haven't seen most of them for 14 months. So it's been way too long. And I can't wait to get back there. So bear with us until we get back. We'll be back August 1st or August 2nd. And Lord willing, and it all goes well. So, well, having said that, we're your mailmen today. If you have mail, give it to Kieran. And we'll send out stuff for you this afternoon. Anybody else going out this week? Pat and Bart, what days are you going to? Tuesday and
Monday.
Monday, Tuesday, so there you go. You got three opportunities to do that. How have you been?
Good.
Well, we missed you terribly. You know, why don't you take a moment, stand up and turn around and greet some folks. Introduce yourselves. I see some faces I don't even know here. And just give each other a warm welcome this morning. Will you do that? Okay. All right. We'll have more time to do this after church. You'll be happy for having Karen and I back because there's a good reason for it. They brought food for us today. So that's pretty cool. Thank you for doing that. Just one announcement that I'm aware of, a Bible study at Bob and Becky's on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, a great Bible study. Hope you can take that in. Of course, men's group on Thursday mornings at Evie's as well at 8:30. Everybody's always welcome to either one of those. And prayer time on Wednesdays for the ladies too. So there's any number of opportunities you have to get involved and walk with one another in growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. How about some praises this morning, first of all? What's on your heart to praise the Lord? Heidi, I know you're just popping to share what you shared with me. Stand up and share that, will you?
Well, last night...
Just 1 second. I'll give you the mic.
Last night I got over at the church and I had a brace in my hand and it's never been straight and my fingers straight.
Praise God. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, other praises.
A few weeks ago, I asked for a prayer for my friend Debbie, who was unconscious for about 3 weeks. And this past week, she opened her eyes, she was talking, they got her up, and she even walked a marathon from the bed to the door yesterday. So praise God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Others. Well, prayer requests then. James, yeah. Verna? Okay. Today's the Mexican elections, and we want to pray for them and keep that in mind, as well as the one coming up in the United States in November. And, you know, there's things happening all over this world. The world's in turmoil, folks.
Amen.
The world is in severest turmoil it's ever been in all its history. And we need to pray, and read our scriptures and be aware of what's going on, not just cocoon ourselves here in Mexico, but understand the signs of the times, Jesus said. that things will be happening in the way that they are, and alliances are being formed, and that's enough. You know what I'm talking about. A lot of chaos in this world going on. We need to pray for the Lord's soon return.
Amen.
Is that what we're waiting for?
Amen.
The coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds in the sky with his royal army with him to redeem the souls that he saved. Other prayer requests. His first name?
Lee.
Lee? Okay, we sure will. Any others?
I just want to ask a prayer request for Wendy's cousin, Virginia. He's lives in Vancouver, Canada, and they just found out she's full of cancer. And he's a pastor's wife and following the Lord all her life, and sometimes you just think, well, it's really tough, so I want to lift up Virginia in prayer.
Okay, sure will. An email this week from, right over there, Bob. Email this week from Terry and Sue Cummins. Terry was diagnosed with prostate cancer as well last week. So pray for Terry up in Idaho. Catherine Gibson, Bob and Catherine in Canada. Any others? Okay.
A week ago, we were blessed with a birth of a great grandson, and as of yesterday, the mother and grandson returned home. It was a little bit of a difficult birth, but we were very blessed.
Amen. Great grandson, you're getting old, brother. All right. Well, you know, trials and tribulations come our way, and you know, as we sang, Jesus raises us up out of the ashes. And Psalm 91 says this, "Where's our confidence? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." What else can we say? Really? "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." And a little later on in that chapter he says, "Because he who holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him, and I will protect him, because he knows my name. And when he calls to me, I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will rescue him and honor him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Would you join me as we pray together? God, how awesome to read that psalm, just as Ryan read Psalm 19, and to know the very essence and the character of your being, Lord, is that you are sovereign, most high God. Lord God Almighty, there is no God like you. You who abides in the heavens, seated on your throne. You who all creation says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To you, there is only glory and light and truth and peace and joy. And we thank, we're so thankful, Father, that you, as the psalmist has recorded, are sovereignly in control of all things. Nothing's out from under the pinions of your wings or the feathers of your wings. And I'm so grateful, Father, for your promise to throw your covering over us and to gather us in as a hen gathers her chicks. And I'm so grateful, Father, that we can hold fast to you because in our love for you and your love for us, you have promised to deliver us out of this world and the trials and tribulations. Father, we're mindful that we're still sinners. And we ask, Father, that you would forgive and cleanse our sin as we confess our sin before you, O God. Forgive the iniquities of our minds and our hearts and the iniquities of our actions, Father. Lord, those things that we have done that are not pleasing to you, those things that we try to hold on to in this life that are not of you but of the humanistic man, Father, we pray you would forgive. We pray that you would cleanse us from our iniquity this morning. We pray that you would wash us anew today in the power of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us on Calvary today. Thank you that we can come to you for forgiveness of sin and we can find cleansing and hope and restoration from you. Father, we're thankful for all the good things that you're doing in our lives and around us in the lives of others this morning. We're thankful for Heidi's healing. Praise be to you, O God, for your healing power. We're thankful, Father, for Debbie and bringing her out of that coma and lifting her out of that bed and able to walk. Father, thank you for healing in her body and continue to heal even more. Father, bring her to a full place of restoration, we pray. Father, we're thankful for grandsons and great-grandsons. And God, we give you praise and glory and honor for new life that you create. Thank you for bringing that mom and that baby boy together through this delivery. And Father, thanks for Ruth Ann and Dick and their rejoicing in their family for this new life. We praise you for your goodness to us, Lord. Father, we lift up our prayer concerns before you this morning. Lord, for all the people who are suffering from cancer this morning, Virginia and Terry and Catherine and Lee, Father, Lord, we just ask that, Lord, you'd remove that cancer. You'd reach down in their bodies by the power of your divine will. And you would remove that and cleanse those bodies. And Father, cancer's not of you, it's of this world and the sin that this world has caused it. Father, would you remove that? Father, you atoned for that through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we claim Catherine and Terry and Virginia and Lee for you in that manner. Father, we pray for Verna and those shingles. Lord, it's so painful. God, would you remove those from her and lift her up? And Father, set her free from that burden. Father, we pray for Jerry's shoulders this morning who are hurting. Father, would you restore him from that? Father, remove that pain from those muscles and those joints today, we pray. Father, we pray for Jay, Lord, at home, and Rachel. God, this morning, would you just draw so close to them? May they feel your loving ever presence there with them right now in their home. And God, would you heal? Would you restore in the way that you want to? God, help Jay to turn his face and his mind and heart upwards to you in these days as he walks through this time in his life. God, give him strength, not of himself, but of you. And strengthen Rachel as well and the whole family. And we pray for her daughter and her cancer, God. Renew her and heal her as well, Lord Jesus. Be merciful there, we pray, oh God. And Father, for our world and the world events that are happening, God, our hearts are anticipating presidential elections today and in the future in November. God, would you put the people in office that you want in office? Would you orchestrate it according to your plan and your will? Father, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven in all of this. We pray for our countries. We uphold them before your throne, Father, and ask for your mercy. Ask for your grace for our countries here in Mexico and Canada and the United States. Father, we pray that, God, people would turn their hearts back to you. People would long for you, O God. People would hunger and thirst passionately for you, Lord Jesus, and they would find you when they seek you with all their hearts. God, turn broken lives into new, renewed life in Jesus Christ. For, Father, send your salvation. Preach the gospel. Proclaim it here in Mexico and the United States and Canada and around the world, Father. Lord, we pray for our own ministry, Touch San Carlos. God, that every man, woman, and child would have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe unto salvation. Lord, would you continue to do exceedingly abundantly more in us and through us as a ministry in the proclamation of the gospel than we've ever dreamed in the past. Strengthen our word, strengthen our missionaries, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our giving, strengthen our sacrifice for the glory of your name, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the privilege to preach the gospel. Father, we pray for our building campaign. We pray for the acquisition of a possibility of another lot. Father, would you cause all things to work together in your good timing and in your good will? Father, would you bring the funds in when the timing is right? Would you give us hearts to believe you for the purposes that you've called us to and established us for here in San Carlos and all around this region, Father? God, we bless you for your faithfulness. And Lord, we give back to you this morning as sacrificial offerings. It's our desire and our goodwill to give to you what only you have given to us. It all belongs to you, and we offer you our offerings today and our tithes with joy, with worship, and with thanksgiving. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Ushers, would you come at this time, please?
to join us in the chorus? Let's just sing together. I will sing to the maker of the heavens.
Thank you very much for that song. That was very good. The faithfulness of God. Canada Day today. Everybody out north there, or north, wherever it is, celebrating. There's all kinds of celebrations going on. And we'll miss the fireworks for sure, and different things. And it's amazing just what gets people excited, you know, as we celebrate a day like that. Personally, I'm not a very patriotic type of person, and it's been so many years since I lived in Canada. But, you know, we've lived there, we've lived in the U.S., we've lived in Venezuela, and now in Mexico. And, you know, I'm always thankful that my citizenship has nothing to do with a particular place. It's with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how good it is, you know, to know that. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our concentration needs to be on for sure. As we were coming back from Louisiana also a couple of weeks ago, and we stopped off at Susan's brother and sister-in-law, and I was just thinking too, you know, things that excite us, you know, as a country is celebrating their Independence Day, and my brother-in-law, he is, well, his wife too, they're fanatics when it comes to being fans. And I know in Canada too, I mean, Canadians love their hockey and they are just incredible. And even the Minnesota Wild, you know, it's like, I'm not sure if you're a fan of the Wild, but, you know, it's amazing. And there too, as we stayed in this bedroom, and it's just purple, the whole bedroom is just purple, and they have spent thousands of dollars on paraphernalia that has to do with LSU. And it's like, how could you be so excited about something like that? I just have no idea. I just can't comprehend being such an incredible fan. And yet sometimes I think too, you know, there's things in this world that get me very excited, extremely excited. And I'm going to be sharing with you this morning an excitement that comes to my heart and to Katie's heart and to Susan's heart and the people that have served in the Bible seminary back here. And if I get a little bit weepy, just bear with me because it's something that is very, very close to me. And I want to share this morning about some students, some very, very dear students. And so bear with me as we talk about these students. And you know what? Our very own Luis Heidi's husband took the course back over here. And you know, a week and a half ago, I was talking to him and Heidi as he came and wanted, he needed some Bibles. So I gave him 10 Bibles to take back with him. And that guy grew in the Lord so incredibly. It was just amazing. And as I talked to him a week and a half ago with Heidi, this guy's an evangelism. He's an evangelistic type of person. I mean, he is out with Heidi talking about the Lord Jesus Christ so much. So much. And as we've seen this guy grow in the Lord, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Heidi, it is incredible to see you two functioning as a couple, sharing the gospel, taking in people, helping people, feeding people. It is amazing. You know what? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And you guys are an incredible testimony. And we as a congregation need to be praying for them and to be supporting them in every way. And as they left the other last week with their car broke down and it needs some desperate repairs. They are carless right now. And boy, it'd be so cool to be able to help them as a congregation to get them on their feet again and to be able to minister so much more effectively. Another guy, student, 21 years old, his name was Noé. He came from the state of Nayarit down south. His pastor has come to some of our pastors' conferences over the past few years. And here was a young guy that was involved in music and wanted to be a minister of music of some sort. And his pastor encouraged him, come to the Bible school. And here was a young fellow too, where he grew up in a very, very, very dangerous place in the Sierras, about an hour's drive, possibly, from Tekwala, Nayarit. And here this young fellow, as he was studying the Word of God, and he seemed a little bit different, you know, we're all a little bit different. And he was just very much into music and studying. He just loved to study the Word of God. And him too, we just saw an incredible thing take place in his life. But as a kid growing up, he saw murders. He remembered many a time having to dig graves and burying people that were shot, people that were hacked up by machetes. And he would have these incredible dreams and just thinking to himself, he was 15 years old when he left his mom and dad from this little town and said, I am never, never, never going back to that place again. He had made that promise. And during the time that he was studying here, he got a text message one day, and 7 of his relatives got murdered. And it's like, Lord, what are you doing? What is it that you want to accomplish in this young man's life? And this guy was so brokenhearted. Lord, what do I do? Why do you allow something like this to happen? And yet he continued to study and be taught the Word of God. And as the Lord started working in his heart, he came up to us one day and he said, you know what? I've got to go back and preach the gospel to this same place. Whether I die, it doesn't matter. I was talking to his pastor yesterday, and he said, yeah, Benny, or Noé, he's on his way. He's going to be in that little town in the next few days. He's going with joy. He's going with the power of the Lord. Whether he lives or dies, it doesn't matter. He's going to take the gospel to a people that don't have it. One of our ladies that studied as well, her name was Minerva. Her and her husband came together from Nogales, but her husband couldn't read or write. And so he went back to Nogales. And as we saw Minerva in her, I don't know if she's 59 years old, studying the Word of God, and she had a desire to go back to Nogales with her husband and start a ministry there of reaching migrants that have come all the way from down south Mexico, Guatemala, Salvador, wherever, people that are trying to enter into the United States illegally. And Minerva had this desire to reach these people with Jesus Christ, to start up some type of, they could rent a building or have a place where they could have a shelter for these people and to give them food, but most of all to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I got a letter this week, last week, picked it up in the mail from her. She said, we're ministering, we're doing, reaching out to these people. And I said, where? Wow, how cool is that? She's doing just what she wanted to do. She committed her life to serving the Lord and reaching these people like that, her and her husband. And she says, man, I need lots of help. Pray. But here she is, ministering to these homeless people, giving them the gospel, giving them a cup of water in Jesus' name. There's another guy, Benito. He was actually working here for the school. He's helping me with some projects here, and he just went back to Hermosillo. His dad had a heart attack, and Russ and Lynn actually took him to Hermosillo as they picked up Rich and Karen. And his dad is apparently doing okay, so we praise the Lord for that. Here's a guy, 31 years old. His parents were believers. They've been praying for this young guy for years and years and years. And as he got into his teens, he got in with the wrong crowd. And he got involved in the mafia and the drug cartels. And as he was growing up, he was a murderer. He's killed a lot of people. He's tortured a lot of people. He was just telling me on Saturday, he said, you know, I used to take drugs into the United States and I would have like 30, 40 passports, false passports. And he would say, well, I'll use this one to this guy. This person looks like me. And he would take drugs across into the United States and he would bring arms back across into Mexico. He's literally stolen, I don't know how many cars, taken them across the border, etc. Lynn, good thing you didn't know all of that. And here's a guy that was in jail for the rest of his life. And he started talking to the Lord and had a lot of time to start thinking. And he said, Lord, if you could get me out of this jail, then I'm going to serve you. And as he prayed this, as he talked to the Lord, and he wasn't a believer yet, but he was just making these promises to the Lord. And it's interesting that he says, there was this lady judge that came to this jail. She didn't belong in this jail whatsoever. She was a judge. She'd never been there before, and she'd never been there since. And as she walked by his cell, she looked at him and said, Benito, what are you doing here? Well, I'm in jail. I deserve to be here. I'm going to get you out of here. And so a few hours later, she came back with papers. The jail was opened, and he walked out a free man. Why? I have no idea. He doesn't understand it either. And as he was walking away from that jail, a free man with these papers, that judge all of a sudden said something to him and said, Benny. And he turned around and was like, wow, do I run or do I come back? He turned around and came back to her, and she gave him 50 pesos, here's some taxi money to get out of here, to go home. And he walked away and went home. Wondering what in the world has just happened. His wife totally rejected him. He has three kids. At that point, he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He started reading his Bible, and he gives the story of how his wife would come by as he'd be sitting at the table and grab hold of that Bible and just throw it on the floor and said, Benny, what are you doing? Need to get out there and kill and sell drugs so that we have some money. That was her response to his decision for Jesus Christ. And so he's in a divorce situation right now, and there's just no change for his wife. And she hardly lets him ever see his three wonderful kids, but he is seeing them. But you begin to think, boy, God, you are incredible. When you begin to think of how he forgives each one of us. It doesn't matter who we are. And since he's been here this past week, he's been sharing, and some of you that get our newsletters, he was just sharing, you know, I have now some friends of mine that work with the cartel, and they're coming to my house, and they come with their bodyguards, they come with their 9mm in their pants, and he's sharing the gospel with these guys. There's one of these guys that he used to work with. He's still with the cartel, and he's having a Bible study with him. And he's learning all his verses that he needs to keep up with his lesson. There's another cartel member that has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but he says, I'm too scared to tell anybody right now because I don't want to die. I don't want these guys to come back and kill me for knowing that they put their faith in the Lord. And it's like, wow. Benny's a guy too, where he's just saying, Lord, just use me for your honor and for your glory. And he's a type of guy where he has received so many poundings, so many knocks since he's been in school with different things. And even now with his dad having a heart attack, it's like, man, it's just going on and on and on. And yet he continues to just say, Lord, use me for your honor and for your glory. It's amazing. How can somebody like Noé go back to such a God-forsaken place knowing that he could be wiped out anytime? How can Benito be working along these drug cartel members with the mafia thinking, am I going to see today or tomorrow or the next day? You see, we can't do anything of that on our own. Our flesh would tell us right now, don't be stupid, Howard. Don't go back to where you're going to die. I mean, what is that? No. It's the power of God that can allow somebody to have the strength and the joy and the fulfillment of serving Jesus Christ. And it comes with a cost. It always comes with a cost to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. But you ask these guys, is it worth it? And they all say, yes, it is. It's worth it. Absolutely worth it. I'm going to do a little mini series here this next month in the book of Ephesians. And there's something here that just grabs my attention here. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. I'll just read this one verse. And we'll get more into depth next week with this. It says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, and note this, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. And as I've shared with many congregations this past summer, what goes through our mind when we think of a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? Who is a faithful follower? I mean, I think of these students, and as we've heard from them, all out there doing an incredible job. It's like, wow, talk about faithful people. Talk about faithfulness. Martin and Rosa were another student in their 50s. And he was a guy that's never had the opportunity to go to any school. Been preaching the word of God for 7 years in churches, just going, just working himself to death, just scattered very thinly in all these different little areas. And as he settled down to study, he had come to one of our pastor's conferences, and boy, he just loved it so much. And he figured, he said, "How in the world, Howard, did you ever get a hold of me?" When he was way down south in Puebla. He said, "I don't know. I don't remember all the details of how I got a hold of you." And it was kind of interesting as I invited him to this conference. And he said, "Man, this, I don't know, it seems kind of weird to me, you know." And he called up a buddy of his that lived in the area here, and he said, "Go check this Howard guy out and find out what this is all about, to come for me to come, from him to call me all the way from Puebla to come to San Carlos to a conference, you know." And so this guy came and did pay a visit with me, and he said, "No, you need to really come. You need to come to this conference, you know." And so here he traveled. Somebody paid his way all the way from Puebla to come here to this conference. And so anyways, it was good to see him, and he came by himself, and he said, "Man, it would be so incredible if I could come and study." And it worked out. The Lord just worked this whole situation out, and he came this past year to study. And it's been so cool as we would send him back to his ministry with his church an hour from here, and his congregation would just flip right. I was like, "Wow, man, you guys are just learning so much, you know." And they would be thinking, "Man, you know, it's like they won't just want to keep us back over here in our congregation, and they won't want to send have us come back to school again." But it's like, no, by the time Sunday came, "Okay, you guys, you get back to school and start learning some more, because we want to hear something new again next week," you know. And this would happen every week, you know, as they would come back Sundays and Sunday evenings, and they would be running, and they'd be so exhausted, and I sometimes felt bad for them, you know, as they were just so tuckered out. And here's a family again too, where like a sponge absorbing the word of God. Faithful, faithful, faithful people. And as I think again, as Paul writes this here, he's writing to the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Are we faithful ourselves? What an incredible thing for somebody to say, "Kyler, what a faithful believer you are. Heidi, boy, what a faithful person you are in Jesus Christ." Can you imagine somebody coming to us and just saying that? Wouldn't that be just the most encouraging thing? "Good job, you guys. Good job for following me, for being a part of the team, the work, the church, giving it everything that you possibly can." How neat would that be? And you know what? As we see each other as the family of God here, we need to be doing that. We need to go up to each other and say, "Good job, you guys. Keep it up." Paul was writing here from jail, and he only had heard about the Ephesians and what was going on over there. And he was so encouraged to hear all the things that were going on. That's why he wrote this letter. And this is the only letter that he's ever written that he wasn't condemning something, that he wasn't castigando, he wasn't putting fault or whatever on somebody. No, he was writing this letter to encourage the Ephesians to say, "Keep pressing on, you guys. You're doing a good job." And as I write these, our students, and we're in contact with them, it's like, I just love to say, "Keep up the good work. You're doing a good job. Keep going. It's going to be hard." This pastor that I talked to yesterday, he wrote us a letter this past week. And the guy is suffering so incredibly. He has absolutely no job, and the economy there is so bad. And he was thinking of leaving his family of 5 kids and to move himself to Tijuana to find a job there to work. And as I read this letter yesterday, it's like it just brought tears. Because here's a guy that's just working and working and working, planting churches, teaching people the word of God. And he can hardly survive with his family. He doesn't have enough food to eat. He was saying, I was talking to him on the phone yesterday, "Howard, what do I do? Do I go to Tijuana and try to find a job and leave my family? What do I do? It costs. It costs to serve Jesus Christ. It's not easy." It's not easy. But it's very rewarding. As we were talking about one day, Christ coming back for his church. That's what we're here to live for, is that return for Christ. But man, we sure have a big responsibility. And when you begin to think of all the work that needs to be done yet here on this earth, wow, it's just never ending. There's just so much. But it takes one soul at a time, one person at a time. Are we faithful to the very end? Are we giving it the best that we can be? And so when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his children, bien hecho, hermanos. Good going, you guys. You were faithful to the very end. You did your very best. Wow. I'm going to continue on with this next week. But we want to enjoy the Lord's Supper this morning. You know, something that we did with our students every week is we did the Lord's Supper. And it was just so neat to see and to teach the students. You know, we don't have to be in a situation like this in a church. We could do it in the playa, on the beaches. We went up into the desert on the mountains. We did it outside here around a campfire at night. We did it in the school. You know, we can enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ through the supper anywhere we are, no matter where we go. And sometimes I think, you know, we think of the Lord's Supper as something that is just so, I need to meditate for half an hour and I need to just really think about this. And no. We were at a church service where I took the Lord's Supper one evening in a church, and it's like it was almost an agonizing thing as the pastor was just saying, no, you got to make sure you're right with the Lord, and you got to make sure that, oh, you've asked the Lord for forgiveness, and he went through this whole big routine of rules and things. No, it's not nothing about that at all. God desires for us, in remembrance of who? In remembrance of him, to come to his table and to take and to eat and to remember. To remember. And I sometimes think, you know, as so many times we have to go through a big routine of examining ourselves. But you know what? Shouldn't we, before we even come into a church building or come together, I mean, shouldn't we just already have things right with God? Shouldn't it just be automatic that we're just walking in the Spirit every moment of our lives? Isn't that what God really wants for us? To just have a pure, right relationship with him all day long, every moment of our lives? That's what he wants. And it's so good to, take a time out and to just celebrate what Christ did. Boy, it's so good. And so, let's enjoy this time around the table here. Rich and